Welcome back, everybody. We are now on show episode 32. You want a piece of me?
I like that.
So these are very good socks. Oh, here it is. Here's where they say it.
Yeah.
See it? So we're back with Justin. As you can see, Holly is not here this evening. And Justin's got in his little nest his little cocktail. Me, I have my little tea. And I'm all buckled in, and I am ready for you to deliver the goods.
Okay.
So let's go.
Today, we have a theme of...
You got me worried.
Yeah. Money.
Money. Okay. Well, that's money. It's certainly better than the curveball he was throwing at me earlier.
Okay, let's get into it.
I'm ready.
Jerry, here is some background. My parents are addicts, and I've separated them from my life. I've been on my own since 18, paying my own rent, bills, working two jobs at a time while in college, completely independent with no support from anyone. I am now 24. I have finished college debt-free and have a great paying job in my field. I have worked so hard to be where I am. I do not have to worry about money with my job. I spend freely and save while also paying my bills with no problem. I am also miserable, all caps, at my job. It is a very toxic environment, no holidays off, etc. I am usually very bubbly, but the past 2 years that I've worked here have really taken a toll on my personality, and it is also starting to take a toll on my mental health. I am beginning to become depressed. I have overcome many things in my life, and never have I felt it was affecting my mental health like this. I have been applying to multiple jobs and received an offer for a state position. After going to the interview, I see that this job would be amazing for me and comes with so many perks. This job is a completely different atmosphere. It has wonderful benefits, much more paid time off, paid off every holiday, a pension plan, early retirement, and it's close to home. The list goes on. I really want this job. Unfortunately, there is a salary cut and there is no negotiating as it is a state-funded position. I will be able to pay all of my bills, but I would need to be careful and have to start to budget money. Side note, I have an amazing, healthy 3-year relationship. We have lived together for 2 of the 3 years. This man is the love of my life. We do not argue. He has never raised his voice to me, never treated me with anything but true respect. He is a dream come true. Parentheses, honestly, my boyfriend reminds me so much of Justin from the show. We constantly talk about getting married, and I believe an engagement will happen any day. My boyfriend tells me that he wants me to be happy and to take the job. He can see how my current job is affecting me so much. My boyfriend says that he will help me financially and that I can lean on him. I do believe that happiness is worth more than money in the long run, but I am super scared to take this jump. Do I take a pay cut for a happier life and mental health? I have always only had myself to rely on and am so nervous about the possibility of needing help from someone else. I have never had anyone to help me financially, and it is a very uncomfortable feeling for me. I know I can trust my boyfriend, but I do not know any other way than being independent. I find comfort in knowing that at the end of the day, I can take care of myself alone, so knowing I may need help is overwhelming. How do I let go and partially rely on someone else? Is it okay to do this? And is taking the job a good idea?
Boy, this is an easy one.
Let's hear it.
Well, first of all, I'm amazed by you. You have certainly seen all the obstacles in your life. You have certainly seen a way of life that won't work for you. You did everything, made yourself all on your own. You're in a great place, except for one thing. Who wants to live their life in misery?
Right?
That's a no-brainer. You don't. You Money is not where you're ruled by. Happiness is, and experiences in life will get you to the next level, not the job that you don't like. So I say that if you've been offered the new job, and even though it's less money, trust me, in my family, I've witnessed this. I've seen people come out of school, go to take six-figure jobs with big signing bonuses. And a year and a half later, I had a similar phone call from my nephew and said, I'm leaving. I'm going to Florida. I'm going to work for the government. I'm taking a 50% pay cut. And he says, you may think I'm crazy. And I said, I don't think you're crazy. I think you've thought this out. And I really do believe that you're going to grow and you're going to get all this new seasoning. It's like a great steak. You know, you just put a little more pepper, a little more this, a little more that, and it makes you a better person.
Yeah.
So don't think that this is the end of you making money. It's you beginning to get out of a job that was going nowhere, that was causing you depression, causing you not even want to wake up in the morning, basically. So go work for the state. Go enjoy your life. Learn. Go into a thing that you've never done and have new experiences. And we don't know where next year or 2 years or 5 years you'll be.
Right.
You may decide that this is the job that you want to have for the next 20 years, and I'm sure every day will make it a little different. You'll be excited and you'll grow.
So yeah.
I say go for it. And I'm proud of you.
I'm with you, especially at 24. This doesn't necessarily have to be your job forever, but I'm finding as I get older, in my older years now.
Okay, you are old.
Right. And, you know, I'm starting to feel like a little bit in the back and places. So,
well, you know, we took those training wheels off your bike last week and now you're just a whole new guy.
I really think, and it's just been, I try to live this way every day, is there's nothing like happiness. There's nothing like just feeling good and mm-hmm. feeling mentally strong and not having some draining, dark energy, bad job stuff going on. And what can you take with you when you go? Well, you have your experiences and all the things that you did and that made you happy. Mm-hmm. You're not taking the money with you.
Mm-mm.
So any day of my life, I would take a pay cut to be more happy.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you need a baseline to be comfortable. And I think a big part of that, especially in this relationship, is learning to depend on each other. And I think that's a big part. Morgan and I have been through this a lot with when Morgan was having trouble finding work and doing things. And now, like, as I'm trying to do certain things money-wise, she's taking care of us in other ways. So it's a balance, and it can be uncomfortable, especially since you've only solely relied on yourself. Mm-hmm. But I think once you stop letting that kind of hinder you and you let yourself fall into this a little bit more, I think you're going to be just fine. And I think it'll deepen your relationship too, because it just...
You grow together. She may not be making, even if she was on her own, she may not be making the money she did make, but she's still making enough money where she can still live and do exist and have her life. She just can't be as free with money.
Sure.
It will teach her a little tighter budget, but hell, all she was doing with the money before was supplementing her happiness by probably shopping because she was miserable.
Right.
Yep. So you'll have a good time and just really, truly live life without carrying that boat anchor behind you.
Yeah.
Because that's just not any fun.
Yep.
You can't go swimming with a 35 pounds of weight with no wetsuit. I mean, you're just going to be sinking, and that's what you're doing with your job now. So good luck to you. And let us know how you're doing in the future. And I'm sure that every write-in on the comment line coming when this thing airs, they're going to say, you go, girl. You yep. do it.
Yeah. This one makes me feel good.
It is a feel good.
Yeah.
So good luck to you. And we're with you.
Okay.
Next one.
Good start.
It's a very good start.
All right. Number two. Hi, Jerry, Morgan, and Justin. I need help figuring out how to transition into my adult life. I, 22 female, just finished my university undergraduate degree. I'm currently living... All right, number two. Hi, Jerry, Morgan, and Justin. I need help figuring out how to transition into my adult life. I, 22 female, just finished my university undergraduate degree. I'm currently living at home with my parents, but we do not have a very good relationship. I was planning on moving out this fall, so September 2022, but decided to take a year off school to work before entering my master's degree. Because of this, I am not moving out of the city I am currently living in. My master's program is in another city, so it was easy to reason why I had to move out. The issue is, I cannot figure out if moving out is realistic or not. I hate living at home, and it is not really ideal in my life, but moving out is a lot of money, and it is helpful sometimes to have my parents help me with my dog. I do shift work at a group home for troubled youth, and sometimes I just need a day of doing nothing to breathe, and I can never get that at home. What do I do? Do I suck it up for another year and live at home to save money? Or do I move out and deal with money as I move forward? Any advice would help greatly.
Well, unfortunately, we can't have a discussion with her. But if we were to have a discussion with her, I would ask you this. What is the root of the issues you're having at home with your parents? Where is the conflict? And let's just, you know, for argument's sake, let's just say that you have a discussion with them and find out really where their frustration is if you don't already know. I'm sure you already know their frustration. And we may not be hearing it. I do think that if nothing can be solved, obviously, with your parents and living in this environment of toxicity, that apparently it sounds like you're making some money on this year off. So if you're making money on this year off and you may have to maybe get a second job, if that's the case, I'm sure you can find a roommate and move in with a roommate. That relieves the pressure from your parents. Yes, you are going to feel a little extra squeezed because now you got, you know, put on those big girl pants and you got responsibility to go, you know, do what you got to do to survive and live. And that's, you know, welcome to the world. We all have to battle it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with getting up and going to work. And I kind of feel that your work is very stressful, only because of the emotional drain that it puts on you. If this is what your job is going to be with your master program, I think you also have to identify if this is a function that you could really do all your life. Because if it's draining the sugar pile doing this kind of work and this is what it's going to be, you got to think twice because you got to replenish that sugar pile. You got to get joy from your work. At least where it's rewarding, where you don't feel the constant depletion.
And it may be rewarding. It just might be, it just might be harder to kind of take that time off and relax and get a day to yourself when you live at home. I think
that's again, having a conversation with your parents. So they're on track with you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the parent that says I'm there to do whatever you have to do. In the reality that your parents are like me, where they want to help you and they want to, but they're also looking for some respect back from you to them, I think it's a conversation to both everyone get on the same ride or planet to accomplish the goal, because I'm sure they're very proud that you're graduated and you're making strides to get your next degree.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I wish we were able to have a discussion with you a little bit, but I would definitely say have a conversation. And if it's just not going to work, you already know you're going to be getting a roommate. You're going to be watching your money for a while, and you're going to be working one or two jobs and be prepared for it.
Yeah.
Because this is the time you're building that foundation for your life. Life gets easier after you start building, you know, your client base and you start building, you know, this is a business basically.
Yeah, I'm realizing I should have read this as part of the main story, but just some additional info here.
Okay.
I make around $3,000 a month and rent would be about $1,000. I live in a smallish city in Canada, so rent's a lot cheaper than where you are from.
Yeah.
My relationship with my parents has never been good. My mom and I fight a ton, but me and my dad are pretty good. He has just stopped getting involved, so it's harder now. I'll have to move out no matter what in September of 2023, as I deferred my master's program to then. So if I do stay living with my parents, it will only be 14 months. But at the same time, I have wanted to move out since I was 16. I have almost no savings as I had to pay all my tuition, but I've paid off most of my debt already and have a steady income where I can pick up a lot of shifts.
I think you know the answer to this one, and only because your mother's and your relationship is so strained. And I don't know where her issue is. I mean, you know, sometimes we don't know what makes our parents trigger, and not everybody is, you know, has their balance. And there's obviously something toxic going on between you and your mom. And if you can't figure it out, then yeah, the healthy thing to do is blast.
Yeah.
Get out of there and go get a roommate if you need to. And that will help with the costs. And you'll have a good time. Just make sure if you do get a roommate, someone hopefully that you would know and you could make it work. And I think you'll be okay.
Yeah. I think this is another case of kind of choosing more happiness and less money, or more money and less happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think under this situation, I think the 14 months, I think, yeah, I mean, that's a decent chunk of time to not be happy.
Yeah, no, I say you move out, make a plan to go, do it sweetly, peacefully.
Yeah.
Not out of anger or bitterness. I think it'd be fine. I think that it might even, you know, your mom and your dad may be having issues that you are totally unaware about that's causing your mom's bitterness, and that will cause them that they're going to have to face those issues.
Yeah.
And, you know, resurrect their relationship, but might make her happier or at least make some changes there. Because if you are the excuse for her misery and it's not really, you have nothing to do with it, you're going to be out of the picture. She's going to have to deal with this stuff on her own.
That's true.
And you're no longer the excuse.
Well, people in the comments, let us know if you've been in this situation, something similar, and what you decided to do. Because, I mean, we only can speak from our two stories, but I'm curious what everyone else has been through.
And also, you know, keep us in the loop what you do. I know I moved out of the house when I was 17 because I was given a job and I was able to pull it off.
Yeah.
And I moved in with two roommates. We had a great time. You know, it was not out of anger with my parents or anything like that. But I remember a couple of years later, for some reason, I remember that either I was between a house or somewhere else, and I went home for 6 months. And it was quite weird going back home. You really do realize once you go, you're gone.
Yeah.
You grow.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's move on.
Number three. Jerry and FKS team, my boyfriend Jack, 30 male, and I, Jill, 27 female, have been dating for a little over 2 years now. We moved in together a year ago, and it has been great. We both truly believe we are the ones for each other. We talk about marriage and engagements often, and I typically joke about finding rings on Instagram ads or having a whole Pinterest board dedicated to it. We both have full-time jobs and are able to afford all of our basic needs, but I do pay more of our expenses due to having a larger salary. One evening, he showed me some rings he'd been looking at online, and they are beautiful, but not 100% what I was looking for. I gave some minor feedback on what I like, something unique, different, but it leaves me nervous that I won't end up liking the ring. I've told him to ask my sister and best friends too for advice. The other layer to this is that he is struggling to be able to save and afford this. I feel terrible that he has to carry this financial burden of having to purchase a ring. I told him I don't need anything expensive, maximum $2,000, but I can't help but feel guilty about this financial burden he has to carry, but also direct him to the type of ring I want. Is it crazy to give him money for this?
You know, Far as supporting the house with him and doing this, I think bravo. You know, you guys are a team. And, you know, we live in a world today that everyone says about equality. And sometimes when we say it, you know, men for some reason are raised with this thought that they have to support the household. And women at the same thing, sometimes even still carry that same thought that they expect their guy to be the breadwinner and most of the money. Yeah. And it's a fallacy in today's world. Sometimes it goes back and forth. Sometimes the man may have a job that will do really well, and there's sometimes that he will not be performing as he would wish to be.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, the woman, that's being a team. And it's not mine or yours or this. It's, you know, we do it together if that's what we're going to grow to do.
Yeah.
You know, that's when you pick your mate. People have different values in a relationship or a marriage than some people do. I'm glad that you are participating the way that you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
The ring, there's a lot of pressure that goes on a guy with the ring. Yes, you're not making a big deal about $2,000 in the scheme of it. Rather than give him money for the ring, you might say something, you could even do this. Honey, I know that you're trying to buy the ring, and for the next couple of months, I'm going to take on more of the bills. So he doesn't feel that he's not providing you with the ring, and you're just carrying off the burden of maybe some of those bills a little bit more. Either way, you accomplish your goal.
Yeah, that's perfect.
And he still knows what you know, he's trying to get you what you want. Yeah, long as it's, you know, within that reason that he can, you know, financially pull that off. That's my suggestion how to do it, how to present it.
Yeah. Well, and I love to see that he's already pulling up pictures and coming up with ideas. Like, you guys are such a great team already. You can tell just from this paragraph we have. When it comes to the ring, I think, yes, the ring, it's bigger. The ring represents something bigger than itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the perfect way to do it. You can take more of the burden, and there are a lot of people that do care about the ring and they want a specific ring. And I don't think it's a terrible route to open that door a little bit more, to have more of a dialogue about like more specifics about the ring itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you just, from a guy's perspective, yeah, I mean, like, you want to be like, pick out the perfect ring and have it be this amazing moment. But at the same time, you want to get this person that you're in basically in a team with, you want to get them something that they truly love.
Right. But there is the stone, and then there's the setting afterwards. So starting with the stone with a basic ring, you can always reformulate that. Remember, it's malleable metal. You could do whatever you want with it. So that is another thought. Here's a question I really have for you.
Sure.
And you may wonder this one too. How do you feel if doesn't the guy have to go to your father first? Does that have anything in your minds?
Maybe he already did.
What do you think about this concept? Do you think that the guy before he does the ring, he should really go to the father and ask the father what his... that's a time-old tradition.
That is kind of a archaic, old-fashioned, and, you know, we're keeping traditions alive. It's interesting to be a 27-year-old male in this generation, because it's all you've ever seen in movies and TV shows, and it's all you've ever heard, like, the generation above you talk about. And
I
that's
did
how it.
It
is. Right.
I had to do it.
So it's just interesting because it, like, puts you in a spot where it feels like, yeah, you do it out of respect, but there is also a part of it that feels a little old fashioned, you know, just because of how everything in that kind of world's evolving. So
this is interesting. When I was going to get engaged, she was really saying, are you going to go talk to my dad? You're going to go talk to my dad? Because the thing was really about how it made her feel to know that I was going to have to face her father. It was interesting, the dynamic of the whole thing.
It is.
So it really wasn't about the father. It was really about the daughter getting to have the experience of what her of him going to her father to do it. It was, had nothing to do with really what he wanted.
Yeah.
He could have cared less.
Yeah, I can see that.
It was interesting. Anyway.
The best point here was the you take on more of the bills, mm-hmm. take the little bit of the burden off him so he still feels like he can go fully do the ring, and then you guys will run off into the sunset.
I think that's a great plan. And don't forget, if he hears this whole thing, well, actually, he won't. You're going to keep it from him. You're going to keep it from him. Right. Well, anyways, we're rolling on.
Okay.
Next one.
Number four. I, 23 female, have always had a strained relationship with my parents. My parents have a very financial mindset and have used money to manipulate me and control my actions ever since I was a child. They also don't fully support my relationship. I met my fiance in high school and we have been dating for 6 years. They say they support us, but they continuously put him down, talk bad about him behind his back, and say we just don't know him well when they have met him plenty of times. My senior year of college, age 22, I decided to move in with my boyfriend, not fiance yet. My parents said that I can't. They are decently religious, to which I responded that I believed it was important to live with someone before committing to a marriage. Their response was to fully financially cut me off before my senior year of college. I had to buy my car from them, pay them back for the car insurance they had already paid for, buy a phone, get on my own plan, and obviously cover rent, school, and food effective immediately. On top of this, they decided to not help us move into the new apartment, and they said they'd never visit a place we lived in together. So they never once visited our first apartment. My last year of college was so stressful, full of work, fear of going homeless if I couldn't make rent, or knowing I could go broke if I failed a class and had to go another semester. On top of this, my parents are shit-talking me and my decisions to my siblings and my other relatives. However, I'm not sure why I didn't cut them out of my life. I think it was the fear of losing connection with my younger siblings. When my boyfriend proposed, my mother could only focus on the fact that she wasn't there to see it and that it's not the type of proposal she would have wanted. It was literally on a beach and was gorgeous. And although my parents didn't seem supportive, they have offered a big sum of money to help with the wedding. That's my issue. I don't want to get into a situation where I'm being controlled by their money again. I feel I should turn down the money, but it's very hard to turn it down, especially when we are so poor and it would help so much. I need some fatherly advice on this whole situation.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind that some parents believe money is control, and money is gift. A gift comes with no prerequisite. I mean, we call in our family the piss on it rule. You're going to give me something? Give it to me on the piss on it rule. If you're not giving it with the piss on it rule, don't give it to me. And what that really means is that if I decide to go lift my leg on it, you can't say a thing about it.
Yeah.
If I decide to take the gift and go do something different with it, that's my choice. There's no bullets behind the gift.
Sure.
You got to be clear with your parents on your feeling. Now, I will tell you one thing. I am proud of some of these young adults that are growing up very quickly, and they're taking the responsibility. They're doing things on their own, and they don't need anybody because they are flying.
Yep.
Sometimes it's a parent's job to teach their kids how to fly. And sometimes it's difficult to make them go on their own and do some of this stuff. But when you finally do it, trust me, parents feel a weight off their shoulder, not because the fact that they don't want to give you money. Because I know that when I have it, I want to give it to my kids. When I don't have it, it's a struggle. But I know one thing about all my kids. They're all going to make it when I die. I could die tomorrow, and I know that my kids are in great shape. And that, to me, makes me feel absolute relief.
Okay.
Because we're in a tough world today.
Yep.
and it gets tougher every day. And they're flying, each one of them. I got three and they're all doing fantastic. So that all said, you need to have a conversation with your mom and dad and say, you know, I understand, you know, your reluctance with this whole thing in the beginning because it didn't come under, you know, your lifestyle.
Right.
But I am a different person than you. I'm a good person. I'm not a bad person. I'm not out stealing. I'm not out doing this. I'm not pulling guns on people. I'm not shooting up the world. I'm just trying to decide that the man that I'm going to be making my life with is really the guy I'm going to have as my partner and do this and see how we react together under the same roof, under the world of stress. And we've had it. We've lived stress and we've made it and we're growing and we're going forward. Mm-hmm. And I would love to be able to have a wedding. But if you write a check for this, bear in mind, we're taking your gift, but there's no control here. And if your gift comes with a rubber band, meaning that you're going to pull it back, I mean, let's talk about trust. You bought me a car. I didn't have to worry about it. Next thing I know is I got to write a check to pay you back for the car. I got to pay you back for insurance because you got pissed off.
Yep.
That's not a lot of trust. So let's be clear about the rubber band effect.
Yes.
And let's be clear about the piss on it rule. Because I want to do the best job I can to do everything the way that I want to. And if you have a suggestion on something that I should do, by all means, Mom, I want to hear your suggestion. Dad, I want to hear your suggestion.
Yeah.
But you only have to give me the suggestion once and then let it go. Let's see what I do with it. Either I'm going to use it or I'm not going to use it. And I don't want to not use it because I'm rebelling because you keep pounding me on it. So this is about all of us understanding the rules before we get involved with it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way you should do it. And that's the way I'd approach it.
Yeah, because I think, you know, you just hope that the money doesn't give the parents an all access card to control the entire
wedding.
You're
going to stop that right in the beginning.
Right.
We're putting a cap on that right now. That's just not going to happen.
Well, and she says in the additional info, let the record show that I am seeking therapy to set boundaries with my parents.
There it is. Look at that.
But I still think it's super helpful to hear a father's advice because I haven't been able to receive that for quite a while.
Well, I'm here for you. You can get a father's advice anytime you need it.
But yeah, I think, it's pretty rough just to have, you know, parents try and cut you down so mm-hmm. quick like that. I understand when you kind of need to financially move on mm-hmm. and start flying. But the way that this all went down is just not cool. So yes, it needs to be very clear going into this because you really shouldn't have to turn this down.
Mm-mm.
You want to go have this amazing day and do it right.
And also, trust me, they want to be a part of it too. It means a lot to them. But you got to just set the understanding of what this really is.
Yeah.
And I think once you do that, this is going to help you guys go forward. And I'm sure your therapist, if you play this for your therapist, I think they'll see the same thing, that you set that boundary, exactly what it is, especially as you said, we're going for boundaries.
Right. I know. And as I was reading this, it literally popped into my head that all of a sudden they offered a big sum of money to help with the wedding. I'm like, okay, where did this whole thing flip? Where all of a sudden are they supporting now? Or is it like you're saying here, just another way to come in and start manipulating this?
Two things. First of all, they're delighted she's getting married and she won't be in sin. Remember, they're religious. They're worried about the spiritual health of their child. You know, there's all this other stuff going on here. So there's different dynamics. But at the end of the day, they still want to be they want to see their daughter have a wonderful wedding. It's not always out of evil. It's just that they are controlling parents. They're taking care of their kid and they're watching over and they don't know how to ease up a little bit sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, it's different, some parents than to other parents. You know, I remember, and I'm going to tell a quick story. Morgan was 4 years old going to school. She loved going. We went to another school. She hated it. She didn't want to go to school. She was five. And I went to the school, and she, you know, she said, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And I walked in and said, what's going on? And they said, she just has to learn, you know, to listen, or she has to learn to be obedient or something, like whatever the word they were using. And I looked at it and I said, sorry, my daughter is very bright. She knows when she likes to go somewhere. And she knows, and it turned out Morgan said that they were mean to her. And there was, you know, about nap time, and Morgan would have to go to the bathroom. They wouldn't let her go to the bathroom, and they caused her issues. And so there was something clearly going on that I felt in 2 seconds, and I said, she's out of here. And I walked out, and they said, they looked at me like I was a horrible father. I was being led by the tail that wagged the dog. And I said, that's not the case. My daughter is plenty smart. And I've always trusted Morgan and knew that, you know, generally she made good decisions. Now, that wasn't always the truth. I mean, she had 16, she mixed up with kids with, you know, I found alcohol in her car. But, you know, beside that, you know, a couple little, you know, indiscretions where I went a little ballistic, you know, I let her make her own choices. And some parents have a tough time with that.
Yeah. So this one, we need an update, but we have to move on.
Okay. Let's go.
Moving right along.
I'm here.
Train's not stopping.
Okay.
So I, 21 female, have been dating my boyfriend, G, 21 male, for almost 2 years now. We met and began talking during the very beginning of the pandemic and began dating when I moved back to Florida a few months later. We now have a dog together and moved into a beautiful apartment by the beach just about a year ago. Now, I know that no relationship is perfect, but ours is very far from it, and I don't know if it's fixable. We come from very different backgrounds. G comes from money, and his grandparents pay for his half of the rent. I, on the other hand, do not come from money. I have to work 30-plus hours a week to be able to pay my bills and my portion of the rent, which I know is not a ton of hours, but I'm also a full-time college student. I feel like I have no time to have fun and enjoy my college experience while still being able to afford the lifestyle him and his family want us to live. He wants to go on vacations, but gets upset when I tell him I can't afford it, or I can't afford to take that much time off work. He paid my portion of the rent 1 month because my student loan didn't come in quick enough, and I haven't been in a safe place financially to be able to pay him back and still pay my bills. He holds this over my head daily, even calling me a bum many, many times because I haven't been able to pay him back. He has told me that I am sucking him dry and all I do is leech off him. I have tried my best to pay him back in many ways, like starting a payment plan or buying all of our groceries for a few months, but he just tells me he can't trust me because I haven't paid him back. It's just heartbreaking because I gave everything up and put myself in not the best financial situation so that we could live the life we have been wanting to live. And now I feel like he is not the person I thought he was, and I'm not even sure if I love him anymore. I don't know if I should stay in this situation and try to work out our troubles, but it seems every time I try to have a heart-to-heart with him, he either shuts down or calls me horrendous names. I am just so young and I couldn't imagine this being my forever, but breaking our lease is extremely expensive and I don't want to screw him over and leave him to fend for himself. I just don't know what to do. Any advice helps. Thanks.
Well, not healthy.
No.
And how long did you say they've been together?
2 years.
So you're at the part now where this is what you see is what you get. And you're out of the honeymoon phase and this is the way he behaves. And he himself obviously doesn't understand what stress is because his family has been wonderful enough to let him have a life without it.
Yes.
He may think he has stress. He doesn't have a clue. His stress is when you can't go on vacation. His stress is when there might be saying, well, is she paying her portion? We have no idea what's going on the other side. Needless to say, this is not a life that anyone wants to live. when you are working together. I think you've heard this the show from the beginning. We talk about participation together, building one another, encouraging one another, giving each other, you know, love where you can laugh with one another, even though it's stress and whatever it is. You guys are working through the problem together, not out of negativity, but out of love and reassurance.
Yes.
I don't feel that here. Do you feel that love and reassurance?
No.
I'm not feeling that vibe from this couple. So on that note, I think you need to walk. And yeah, it's going to be tough to go on your own or find another roommate, because obviously he is not the guy that you need to build this life with. I mean, if you're worried about the lease and doing it responsibly, tell him he needs to find another roommate and let him know that this is what's happening. I mean, he might snap into shape for a few weeks and clean up his act. But I mean, you got a good example of what he is. He's already betrayed that trust and you're right. You said, quote, "I don't know if I love him anymore." Well, how can you love a guy that's not giving you encouragement, that wants to bring you down, wants to demoralize you? If this is what he goes on in his family, that's what they do to him, he's going to do it to you. And he is doing it to you already. Most importantly is your health, your mental health. And this isn't good for your mental health.
No.
And he is not good as your partner. So if you guys are able to figure out roommate situations temporarily until something should change or something different, I just can't imagine him to be your lover, especially when he treats you the way that he's treating you.
Yes.
So.
Okay. Ready for a rare Father Knows, but also Justin hot take on Father Knows?
Sure.
Usually I'm pretty chill in here.
Okay.
I think this is a very fine example of a male being very privileged, entitled, and immature at the age of 21. Mm-hmm. And I think this now is a nice little learning lesson for you, because this is one of those relationships you have at the age of 21 that teaches you what you want to avoid in the future. Mm-hmm. You're going to have so many red flags from this that this guy is just like, he can go ruin someone else's life. You, on the other hand, at 21... are working 30 hours a week, mm-hmm. going to school, mm-hmm. still keeping up with your bills, mm-hmm. and then he's going to pay rent for 1 month and hold it over your head? Of course you're not in love with him. This is the biggest joke of a person I've ever heard. And yes, I know that there must have been something between you two and some love and respect to get to the 2-year mark. Mm-hmm. But we're not there in life anymore. This is a quick move on. This is so easy. This is the definition of happiness versus not.
Right.
And I wouldn't even spend another second there. And I also wouldn't even care to find, if he's calling you horrendous names, I wouldn't even care to find a replacement. Your name's on the lease, you deal with it. I'm out of here.
Well, I don't know if her name's on the lease too. That's an interesting question. I mean, that's what I said. We don't know where her name is on this thing. If it's all him, she can walk.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be out.
But we do know the relationship is done.
Well, and they even say there are many other issues in our relationship, which is not a surprise. This is just the main one that has been weighing on me. And the ideal outcome is just to be happy again and enjoy my college experience. And how you do that is you be realistic about the money you're making. Draw back your lifestyle a little bit. Mm-hmm. You'll get there, but you're also trying to get yourself through college. So dial it back, get some friends with some less expensive habits, and then get this weight off your shoulder.
I agree.
That's all I got.
Very good. We got one more?
Last one.
Okay.
I'm recovered now.
Okay. Calm down. Breathe. Breathe in, breathe out. Have a sip of that pineapple.
It's just juice. There's nothing fun in here.
Oh, good.
Okay. Hi, Jerry. I'm a 19-year-old female who's home from college for the summer, and I'm having trouble getting along with my parents, specifically my dad. I've had a pretty healthy relationship with my parents my whole life, but somewhere my dad really lacks an understanding as how serious my mental health problems are. I've communicated to him recently how my depression and anxiety has gotten really bad out of nowhere. I take medication for it and I'm pretty good at keeping up with it, so I really don't know why I'm feeling so badly. He tries in his own way to help me, but he isn't grasping that there's not a lot anyone can do to make me feel better. There is, however, things people can do to keep me from feeling worse. Something I really don't like talking about is how much I should be working this summer. I have two jobs that I work 6 days a week, plus a babysitting and princess performing gig for children's parties as side hustles. I'm really trying to make money this summer, and I'm so unbearably anxious about it. My dad knows this, but thinks it's helpful to bring up multiple times a day how I need to be working more. The places I work typically don't schedule me until about 12 p.m., and I think he's very stuck in the mindset of 9 to 5 days. The thing is, if I go in at 12, I'm usually there until 8 p.m. or later. So I'm getting the hours in, the schedule is just a bit shifted. He doesn't understand this, and I feel like no matter what I do, it isn't good enough. I'm so confused about what he wants from me because last night I broke down in front of him about how stressed I am, trying to juggle everything and how I feel like I'm in over my head. And his exact words were, "It's okay to be selfish sometimes and take time for yourself." And now today I got lectured again about how I need to work more. I've tried to tell him this situation is a hot button for me and that constantly telling me I'm not doing enough isn't going to help at all. It's just going to make my mental state worse than it already is. When I do this, he gets very upset that I can't talk about things like an adult, and he hates it if I say I need to step back from the conversation. I'm not an angry person. I don't yell like I did when I was younger. I very calmly say, "This is beginning to be too much for me. I need to step back." And he sees that as a sign of disrespect. I'm at a loss right now. I don't know how to communicate to him in a way that would reach his mind for my sake. The topic of working needs to be dropped. I know he's just trying to help, but it doesn't do anything for me, and I'm exhausted every time I talk to him. What should I do?
You have obviously had this conversation with him, and you're beating your head against the wall. At least that's the way it sounds to me.
Mm-hmm.
Does she go to if she's getting meds, she's got a shrink. She's got a psychologist working with her or a psychiatrist, or you can't get the meds. So I'm going to imagine for that question, you must have someone that you're seeking counseling from. And if that is the case, you need to drag your dad to the counselor with you. And you have to have the counselor along with yourself in a conversation with your dad, explain what's going on, because it's not making you healthier. It's making you, it's compounding the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously you are working. You're doing everything you can. I can't see where you're not performing to do what you can do. He is being, it sounds like, irrational, where he says, "Take time, go find your time for yourself, relax, breathe." And then 10 minutes later, he's all over you putting pressure on you.
Yeah.
How can you function normally like that?
Right.
So if you're not seeing a counselor, I don't know how you're getting the meds. So I'm going to go back, and I'm assuming you're seeing a counselor or a therapist, and you guys got to go in for a dual session. So you can bring this up to your dad and you can get him to, for your own health, to back off, because he's not listening to you to do it.
Yeah. When in reading the ideal outcome, I do think it's coming from a good place.
Mm-hmm.
She says, "I want to have a mature and calm conversation with him about letting this topic go. He really does think he's doing something helpful by nagging me like a normal parent does, but I'm not a normal kid. Right now, I'm extremely emotional, drained, and vulnerable, and I just need him to trust me that I'm working my hardest this summer. I love my dad, and he is the most amazing man I'll ever know. I just need to get over this hurdle with him before it begins to damage our relationship."
And I got a question. What makes you think it's normal for someone to nag you?
I think just in that general sense of, like, you know, someone giving you that little push when you need it, when in this case she really doesn't. As a parent, in more of a guiding way, to say, here you go, but also not realizing how much she's actually doing.
Because she's had this conversation in a calm fashion, without yelling, without screaming, without the thing, I go back to saying we need to go to a joint session.
Yeah.
Because this is part of the, this is, it's becoming a problem.
Yeah.
He may not be your problem, but he is now becoming a problem. And right. You love him. And you don't mean anything bad by this, but you guys got to get on the same page.
Yes. And, you know, it probably could be both sides. I think that the conversation could probably be handled better on both sides. Mm-hmm. And I also think that having a third party will just help him realize just how much you are doing. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, if he does think he's helping, mm-hmm. he's really hurting. So yeah. to have someone kind of,
I agree. Guide it because,
get to that.
Because the mother isn't there to do it. She would have said the words, you know, my mom is trying to intercede and trying to help and we're not getting anywhere, but she didn't bring her. She said, my parents are having a problem, primarily my father, but her mother isn't there to back her up. Doesn't have the strength or the communication with her husband to do it together where they can find this happy place.
No.
So we go back to the fact, I'm going to believe there's a psychologist involved or a psychiatrist because of the meds, mm-hmm. and do a joint session or with all parents, you know, all three of them.
Yeah.
To be there and have a conversation because I think it would be healthy will be a good, healthy outcome.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. That's it. So that's it for our show. And we want to thank you for joining us for number 32. And again, thanks a lot. Have a great week and come check us out on our Patreon. And don't forget, subscribe. We love when you press that button.